just tell us when. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Jesus Impact, where we just talk about how Jesus Christ has impacted people's lives. So our purpose here at Jesus Impact is to just talk to people and discover how Jesus Christ has impacted their life, what he's done in their life, and we have someone new every week. So tonight, we're interviewing Hannah Johnson. This is our first lady ever on Jesus Impact, by the way.
What an honor.
What an honor. First lady ever.
Well, hello.
On our podcast and on our, we're on a podcast now. First, we were just on Facebook Live. You can actually find us on a podcast now, Jeff tells me.
Anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Music, or what was the other one he said?
Google.
Yeah. Those are the two main ones. Yeah. Jesus Impact.
I'm a bad person to advertise for that because
probably.
I don't listen to podcasts much.
Yeah,
but anyway.
You are making one.
I'm making a podcast. That's really good. But I wanted to tell you next week, as some people are getting on here, and I wanted to tell you something coming up next week. My good friend Warren Haynes will be with us next week, and he's a buddy of mine from out in California who is at Gateway Seminary, and he's the advanced guy for distance learning centers of some kind, and he's going to explain that to us next week. He's a good buddy of mine who just, he's impacted my life a lot. And I want you to be here next week. I don't want you to miss that next week at 5:30. It will be no Hannah Johnson.
I don't know.
But
I don't
Warren's
know if
a
he
great
can top
guy.
It.
But Warren's a great guy. So, Hannah.
Well, unlike Warren, I have no fancy position or accolades. He sounds amazing. But I go to church here at Franklin Crossroads. I've been a member for 5 years, my husband and I. I'm originally from Louisville, the mother to two boys. One is 10 months old and one is 2.5. So send coffee if you are watching this. My husband is on staff here at the church. And then I also work here in Hardin County in Elizabethtown at our pregnancy help clinic and center. So we're into lots of different things in the Johnson household.
I need to interview ladies more often. Do you realize, if you watch these, do you realize how easy it is to interview Hannah? Because most of the guys that sit down here with me, I interview guys mostly.
Oh, yeah.
And I sit down with guys and I say, so, how's it going? And they're like, ugh. All I said was Hannah. And you told me, like, a lot about your life, which is really cool because those are all kinds of things I wanted to know.
It is an interview after all.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I wanted to ask you a few questions specifically, and you, like Warren, who's coming next week, you're actually very educated too. Tell us a little bit about your education background.
Well, I, first and foremost, am a Murray State Racers. If you're out there watching, get your hooves up. Woohoo, go Racers. So I graduated from Murray State in 2012. My undergrad is in marketing and advertising, which the Lord has blessed me to use now in my current position at Clarity Solutions. And then I eventually did go on to get my master's at Southern Seminary in Louisville, and that's actually where I met my husband, who was also studying at the same time. So we kind of hooked up there.
So what's your master's degree in?
It is in Christian ministry. Church ministry or Christian ministry? I know that's terrible. You all, it took me so long to get this degree. It was like supposed to be a short, like 2-year thing. And
how long did it take you?
It took me 4 years. It took me literally twice as long.
Well, welcome to the club. I have no master's degree.
That's okay.
I would love to have one day.
Neither did Jesus.
But Jesus didn't, you're right.
He didn't.
But I have a 4-year degree that it took me 8 years to get.
Yeah,
so,
double. We're on like the same double time.
Double plan.
But it makes me feel better because Jeff was the same way. It also took him double the time. So if you know us, I mean, we try, Jeff more than I, but we're not the most academic type that ever was in the entire world. So it just took us a little bit longer, but, you know, we're here. We made it.
I don't know. Like, Jeff is a really academic guy as far as intelligence. Like, he's always reading books and stuff.
Yeah,
and then
is.
When I talk to him about a book, he's like, oh, yeah, I read that.
Yeah, he does read a lot. I will say, I need to read more.
I guess I read a lot too, but I read just like for fun a lot. Like, I don't read a lot of spiritual books, a lot of deeply spiritual books, which is, I know that's terrible as a pastor, right? But
yeah.
I read the Bible a lot.
Hey, that's primary for sure.
But I read like everything from Jack London to Zane Grey to like old Western books, Louis L'Amour.
I don't even. Mm-mm.
No.
None of
what
it
do you read?
Rings a bell. Well, it's ironic that we are on a podcast and you don't like podcasts, because I've actually gotten away from reading and I listen to a lot of podcasts. So, like books and news and things like that I used to read, but in audio form, because, you know, with two littles running around, you know, work smarter, not harder. So I'm able to like listen in the car when I'm doing chores, things like that. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love history. So I listen to a lot of history podcasts. A lot of like storytelling is what I really like. Both Jeff and I love the news. We've gotten so old.
So when did you start liking news?
Okay, I started liking news around the time when we moved here. So about 5 years ago, I started like listening to the news every morning, like on AM.
Yeah. Like just so local news or like all of the like, you know, national and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I listen to a couple of, I'm a loyal listener to a few different like podcasts, and I listened to NPR for a really long time, but I've kind of gotten away from that. I kind of just have to pick and choose more now what I put into my mind. Just because there's a lot of news. There's just a lot of news, and so I have to be a little more choosy now.
That's really funny, because if people watching right now, I want you to tell me if you listen to NPR, thumbs up or thumbs down.
No one is going to listen to NPR.
So would it surprise you to know
that
I am a regular listener to NPR?
So I used to be, and I still probably listen to it like maybe 4 times a week. Like, is that regular?
No,
but
I'm
used
laughing,
to be a multiple day consumer.
I'm laughing because like for me it's like once or twice a week I call that regular. But actually listen to NPR because I want to know what liberal people think.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's really important. I don't necessarily want to get into politics, but I think it's really important to have like a regular like mental diet of different like ideologies, especially as a
perspective, right?
Yeah, especially as a believer, because we're called the minister to all. And so just having a well-rounded worldview, and I don't know. I think it helps create like compassion and awareness of people. So.
Yeah. So one of the things that like I do, I said that I don't mean to be offensive to people, but I like to know what other people think, and like the reporters and stuff on NPR are like totally not my perspective of what I think about things.
Absolutely.
But I do want to know what other people think about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think I'm able to listen to what other people think without being mad at them for it.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense. Like, I can listen to somebody that has a perspective that I consider is totally whacked and not be mad at them because they have a different perspective than me.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, for my work, so for those of you who don't know what a pregnancy help clinic center is, we are a Christian ministry that provides like free medical services and resources to women and men in unexpected pregnancies to offer them life-affirming alternatives. So it's really important for me to kind of be aware of what everyone is saying about the topic of abortion, because it's my job to get women who are considering abortion to come to clarity and get educated and take advantage of our resources instead of just making a quick appointment like at an abortion facility. So for me, it can be kind of infuriating to listen to, but it's also really important because if I don't know, then I can't combat, you know?
Makes total sense.
Total sense.
Total sense, yes. And you work at Clarity with, and our church supports Clarity.
Yes. Yay. And you should too if you're watching. It's great.
Yes, you should.
Plug.
You should totally support it. We love Clarity. And actually, my daughter works at Clarity now with you.
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, my daughter Mindy also works with you. She's a nurse now.
Yes.
We're so proud of her.
It's amazing.
Debbie and I are so proud of her for her work there at Clarity. And mm-hmm. So, something she's always wanted to do.
She's good at it.
Use nursing to help people mm-hmm. From a community nursing perspective.
Absolutely.
Instead of from a more hospitalization health perspective.
Yeah.
Like
she's been a wonderful addition.
Well, cool.
I don't work on the same day she does, but yeah. I hear that she's doing great.
Yes.
Go Mindy.
Yes. Cool.
Go Mindy.
So we actually met her. One of her pediatrician, our granddaughter's pediatrician, mm-hmm. We met her, and she's on the board, too.
She's so, actually the board chair. Like, she's like...
Is she really? She's like the head...
She's like the head honcho.
Head lady there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool, because, like, we're finding all these different connections with Clarity, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to interview you. I wanted to talk about Clarity
absolutely.
A little bit. So, also, I wanted to ask you a few other questions. Okay. One of the things I really want to know is... So, what advice would you give, just sort of off the cuff, doesn't have to be anything, you just, what advice would you give for a young lady whose husband is going into some sort of full-time ministry?
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't even know if I'm qualified to answer this because I feel like I fail as, like, a minister's wife so often.
Now, let me stop you right there. That's really interesting that you say that.
Is it?
Because I don't know of any minister or minister's wife who feels like, man, I'm nailing it all the time.
Yeah, no.
Like it is honestly one of the things you do in life is one of the most humbling things in life because I if I met someone who was like a minister's wife or a minister of any kind, and they're like, yeah, man, this is easy. I got it all together. Like I'm nailing this every day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, get away from me. Like, you're suspect.
I guess that's a good point. I guess that is a good point. That's so hard. Because like I said, I feel like I struggle so much. But one thing that I think Jeff would probably say too that I really try to do is just be his biggest encourager. You know, everyone wants to give advice and pointers and, you know, and, like, I want for him to have his wheels on the bus, like, you know, emotionally and mentally and spiritually and physically in all the ways. And encouragement's just a huge tool for that because one of Satan's main tools is just lies, you know, telling you lies. You know, you're not good enough, or this problem is maybe bigger than it really is, or, you know, whatever that people in ministry are subject to all of the time. You know, there's lots of insults from the enemy, from Satan. And so I want to be that voice in Jeff's life that's telling him, you're doing a good job. You're going to get through this. You're great at what you do. You know, things like that, even just talking through situations and not always commiserating, but just giving truth, giving love. And he does the same for me. So it's really, marriage is such a gift because it's really when one is up, we always joke. Like when one of us is going off the rails, like the other one is really stable. And then the second the other one gets good, the other one is off the rails. So it's just a nut house, honestly.
It is.
It's just a nut house.
Debbie and I have always called it life in the fishbowl.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
So, like, life in the fishbowl is like, actually used to have a blog called Life in the Fishbowl years ago. And it was like, one of the things we describe is we need that encouragement from each other because oftentimes the enemy does lie to us and discourage us. So other times too, we get flattery from people.
Yes.
And people put you on a pedestal because you're in ministry. And so that's just like a natural thing that happens. It's just the way it is. And one of the big things for me is my wife, Debbie, being like that voice of reason in my life. So just to give you a quick example of that, like one Sunday I stood up and preached, and it was just ridiculous. Like, it was one of the worst sermons I've preached in years. It was bad.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. I would never tell you one of your sermons is bad because I'm one of your congregants.
Right. So I preach, and like I started preaching, and then I got like halfway through the sermon, and I'm like, yeah, this one's not going to get any better. So I just need to wrap it up and go home. You know, like I just need to call it quits. So I sat down, and Debbie looked over me, and she said, "That was good, honey. You know, that was okay. You know, that was good." And I said, no, it wasn't. And I started laughing. And then we both started laughing. And she's like, yeah, you're right, you know.
That was weak.
That was kind of bad.
That was a little weak.
And when we did that, it's like she's the one voice I know that I can have honesty from.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I know she'll always tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm. Wives are good for that.
You know.
They'll tell you the truth.
But she also knows how to measure that.
Yeah, that's important, I think. See, not that, to be a critical spirit too much.
Not critical. Just kind of like, honey, have you thought about whether or not to use that illustration?
Mm-hmm. Or even,
it might get you fired.
Or even like, have you eaten today? Have you had a nap? Like, you know, maybe sleep could fix it. We all need naps.
When you get my age, have you taken your medicine today? Which makes me cough all the time. That's why I'm coughing today.
I think too, as we've been sitting here talking, I would also say, and I think what you said about your marriage reminded me of this, if someone is not married yet, like if they're dating, or maybe if they are married but they're not in ministry yet, I don't think that there's anything wrong with counting the cost. I think that's really important. I think a lot of people rush into ministry, and it's an honor and it's a privilege and it's a calling, for sure. And Jeff and I are both so privileged to minister in the different ways that we do and be a ministry family. But like you said, there are some things that you gain and lose with that. It can be tumultuous. You're in the people business. And people have a lot of opinions, and you know, you're raising your family in that atmosphere as well. At least for us, we have young children. But thankfully, like, we really have counted the cost of being in ministry as much as we can. I mean, Jeff and I have only, well, Jeff longer than me. He's been in ministry for, like, over 10 years. I've probably been less than that, a little less than that. And that's helpful, too.
Yeah.
And that's helpful, too.
I think it's really smart about counting the cost. Like, one of the big things is not entering ministry lightly.
Yes, absolutely.
And making sure you're called, because there's times when your calling is the only thing that carries you through.
Yes.
You know you're called by God. That's why you do what you do.
Sure. And I think so many women, so many of my friends, so we went to seminary, we have a ton of friends who are in similar positions as we are, you know, serving in the church and in the marketplace and all these things. And I think it can be a unique challenge for a minister's wife, because some of my friends, you know, maybe their husband didn't get called to ministry until well after they were married. And so it was something that the husband was called to, but maybe the wife wasn't. And that's a really big challenge. That's really hard. Thankfully, that wasn't Jeff and I's situation, but we talk often, you know, what's the cost of this? Like, if we're going to do this, how do we set this other boundary? Or, like, what does raising our kids in this context look like? Because if you want to make it for the long haul, which is what our desire is, you know, so many people burn out so fast. You know, if you want to make it in the long haul, like, how can you have ministry that's sustainable? How can the culture of your home be sustainable? And I don't think you can really have that unless you count the cost.
Yes.
you know?
Those are really wise questions. I think one of the things that I think about a lot of times that kind of helps me too in recent years is like, I didn't even realize this till like maybe 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, yes, ministry is fun, and yes, mm-hmm. I love what I do.
Yes, couldn't do anything else happily. I'm called.
I would not want to do anything else. And that's exactly where I am. But I also realize that it's tough, and it's difficult at times, challenging at times, mm-hmm. and that... one of the things that's helped me, oddly enough, is just this mental attitude of realizing that other people have hard jobs too.
Yeah, like, oh, for sure.
I never really thought about that early on in ministry. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, you know, ministry's tough. Then I thought, gosh, I know a guy who was...
Like, being a lineman is really tough too.
Yeah, like...
You know, like, yeah. Homeschooling, like, 5 children. I mean...
Right?
Bravo. Like, yeah. How...
Yeah, like, I mean, I think about a lineman, for example, who gets called out in the middle of the night. He's got to go to, you know, who knows where to go help with some storm across the United States sometimes, mm-hmm. stay for a week or two. Mm-hmm. And then I think about, I'm a military guy, I think about our soldiers, they have a tough job.
Absolutely.
I even think about people like, you know, like doctors and stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the heart surgeon.
Always on call.
He gets paid good, right? Like he drives mm-hmm. a nice car, or she drives a nice car, and she makes good money at that. But
there's a cost to that as
people's
well.
People's lives in their hands, like right there, like dealing with someone's heart in their hands.
So much therapy needed. I
you
hope
think
all
that's
of,
a little
I,
stressful.
I hope all of the doctors are getting like, all of the
that's
therapy.
That's stressful, right?
Absolutely, for
but
sure.
Anyway. I don't want to talk about that too much. I just wanted to ask you about that, see what your perspective was on that as a minister's wife, and I appreciate it. And the other thing I'm thinking about is I'm thinking today about how Jesus has impacted your life because you have a great testimony of just how you were saved, how you came to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And you come from a religious background as well, right?
Yes, I do. So pretty much my whole family is Catholic, and I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic schools and things like that. And it is certainly not that I think that Catholics cannot be Christians. I just was not one. I had a really, like, a duty mindset. You know, if you're a good person... If you do X, if you put this in, you get this out. You know, if you're a good person, then you have, like, God's favor, God's blessing, happiness. And honestly, my mind wasn't even really Godward that much. But if I had to have pinpointed it, I probably would have said that everyone who worships something, as long as they're a good person, you know, goes to heaven or has a relationship with God. And it wasn't until I was 20 that I was really confronted with, you know, if the Bible is true, then other things can't be. So really reading the Bible for myself is what transformed my heart and mind and made me realize that the Jesus that was talked about in Scripture was not the one that I had been worshiping and was not who I had a relationship with. Again, I was thinking, like, if I'm a good person, I'm okay. And,
you know, I want to stop you there for just a second because that's really interesting. I hope you heard what she just said about the Jesus you were worshiping, the Jesus, in other words, like that you had in your mind, mm-hmm. that you believed in, was not the same one that you read about in the Bible.
Yes.
Like, I wonder how many people, like, that's them. They're maybe even people who are listening to this or watching this are going, you know what? I wonder if the Jesus that I think is the mm-hmm. God of the Bible is actually the Jesus that the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually funny. So I started reading in John, which if you... have not read the Bible a whole lot, I started there, and that was really helpful for me. I didn't really know what I was doing, but God helped me, He'll help you. But it it talks about right there in one of the first few chapters in John 3, you know, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, who was hearing Jesus say, you have to be born again, you know, from the horse's mouth, is like, that's weird. Yeah. You know, you have to go into your mother and come be born again. What are you talking about? And Jesus was like, no, like, you have to have a spiritual rebirth. And honestly, the only time I had ever heard, like, born again or saved was, like, in a movie, like, making fun of
her. Like, in some kind of, yeah.
Like, yeah, like, I just thought that was something, like, snake handlers made up or something. Honestly. Like, when I read that.
That's hilarious.
Like, when I read that in the Bible, I was like, oh, this is actually in here. That, like, I have to do this. And so, I think for me, too, I was hesitant for a long time because, you know, I had my periods of being more moral of a person and less moral of a person, I guess you could say. And anyone who knows me now, like, I am the most impatient person in the entire world. Ask Shepherd, my two-year-old. Like, I don't know who's more impatient, my child or me. Like, I'm impatient. I'm quick to speak. And I think the Lord is just, I think what was so freeing about when I decided to have a relationship with Christ and when he kind of drew me to him was realizing that he would meet me right where I'm at. And that's something that I remind myself all the time now is I don't have to be good to get to him. Like, the whole reason I profess Christ is because I realize that I'm impatient and that I, you know, am too quick to speak or that I am whatever X, Y, and Z. It's not because of my lack of flaws, but because I see my flaws and I embrace those and I embrace Christ and his blood to cover those.
That's awesome. I love that because I hope you hear what she's saying. What she's saying is also that when you're saved, like when you come to faith in Christ, like it doesn't end there. You're not like, oh, wow, I'm saved now, I'm perfect.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like, no. Not the case for me.
Right? No, not for any of us.
Certainly not the case for me.
Not for any, so we still struggle with these things.
Sure.
But now we have Christ to help us with these things.
Yes.
And continue to get these things better in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's such an important concept, too, because so many people will say, you know, so many people have had bad experiences with the church. I have had bad experience. I'm sure you have. Like, there's so much church hurt, and, you know, people will say, well, church is full of bad people or is full of hypocritical people. And like, I am the chief hypocrite because I struggle every day. Like, I love the Lord and I still struggle and he helps me. And church is not like a shiny place. There's a saying and it's not coming quick to my mind, but it's like the church is not a shiny place for perfect people. Like, it's a hospital for the sick. And so anytime that someone's like, well, what would your church say about that? I mean, they know. Like, I'm here because I recognize my sin and embrace my Savior.
Yeah, absolutely. Recognize my sin and embrace my Savior. That's an awesome way to think about that. And I think about, I'll push back on one thing you said.
Push back.
Just one thing.
Push back.
And it's this, you're not a hypocrite. Because, okay, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be a follower of Jesus, but who is not. It is not someone who is a follower of Jesus who messes up. Because if that was the case, we would all be hypocrites, right? And
yes.
And I want to say just a couple of things like about church hurt too, because I think a lot of people have been hurt in church.
Sure.
And as have I and Debbie and, I don't know anybody who hasn't.
But anytime you're around people, really, you open yourself up to church is hard.
Yeah.
Satan's against it.
And people will hurt you. And Satan's against Satan's fighting against it. And as far as like hypocrites within the church, like if a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be a true follower who is not, where else would you expect to find them? Mm. Like, if I'm pretending to be a Christian, where would I be except for in church? So, of course, they're going to be there. And by the way, like, mm-hmm. another thing that I think all the time, that's where I want them to be.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Like, yes, if you, that's so important, because everybody hates the hypocrite, but like hypocrites just want to be good and don't know how to be and can't be because at their core they're sinners. Like, we can't do it without the Lord. Like, come on down.
Right, right.
Franklin Crossroads, Hardinsburg Road, come on down.
So if they live this dichotomy of a life and they come in and they're like trying to be good, coming to church or whatever.
Right.
And trying to pretend like everything's okay in their life. I want them in church because I want them to hear the gospel, to hear Christ, to hear what the real Jesus is like. Sure. And then hopefully be like, wow, my life doesn't match up. Maybe I better get that aligned.
Mm-hmm. You know? And honestly, who has not like had a fight with their spouse and you're like in the church parking lot and then it's like time to go worship and you're like, hallelujah. Or, you know, or like,
answer everyone with children, especially small children, have had that experience.
You know this because my children interrupt your preaching regularly, but I mean, how many times am I like frustrated when I have to take my children out of church and then back into church and then out of church and then back into church? Like, we're all struggling. Like, come struggle together.
Like, I know, right? And, yes. And especially Shep. When Shep,
oh my gosh,
your oldest, when he cries, it sits right over here. And when he cries,
it's an echo, really.
It's really loud.
It's shrill. It's shrill.
And when I'm preaching and that happens, I'm like in this grandfather phase in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a really hard time not laughing.
Yeah.
Because it does not disrupt me or bother me. I just think it's kind of funny.
Well, it doesn't help. It certainly doesn't help that, like, everyone we sit around, thankfully we have really great relationships in the church, so he's just everyone's little darling. And so they're like, oh, Shepherd's screaming and throwing his body on the floor. That's hilarious. And I'm over there like, obey. Like, do everything without whining and complaining. Like, come get like, oh, gosh. We're just trying.
I think it's I think it's hilarious. And children in church crying has never bothered me, I'll tell you that.
I know, when women, like, so obviously I invite other young moms to church a lot, like whether it's like my neighbors or, you know, people I meet out and about, and they're like, I just don't think my kids would sit through church, and I'm not comfortable taking them to children's church yet, or, you know, whatever. I'm like, well, let my family be the prime example of how low the bar is for church behavior. Like,
So Debbie and I have been there too, because our oldest son was really strong-willed. He was a strong-willed kid, and all of my kids have had their deals right in church, in church life.
Yes.
And we were pastoring when we had three small children, because we started when we were like 24 years old.
Yeah.
So we were pastoring with three small children in the church, and it was always tough, you know.
So loud.
With different things.
So much volume.
Yeah.
So I mean, my children are wonderful, but, you know, they're just loud, and we just show up. So, you know, whether you feel like you have it all together or don't, or somewhere in between, I always say, like, there is a seat at the table of Christ for everyone.
Room at the table. Come this Sunday.
Oh, plug.
But I will tell you this. I want to kind of wrap things up today with a story about church hurt. So I've seen church hurt all my life, right? And it is tough. But I don't look at it the same again, ever. Something changed my perspective about 2 years ago. 2 years ago or so, I was in a mission trip to Alaska.
Okay, I remember this.
Remember the mission trip?
Yeah, I remember when you went to Alaska.
So I went to Alaska. Jeff was actually going to go with me next year, and then COVID shut us all down.
COVID.
But while I was up there, I met these folks from Texas who were involved in this really prominent Texas church shooting where all of these people were shot in the church.
Yeah.
Many were killed in this small church in Texas. And they were up there on this mission trip. That church was up there. And I met this lady who was a grandmother. She was a grandmother and a sort of an elderly lady. We're still recovering from an injury where she was shot. And her granddaughter was shot. And she actually lived, but she has a lot of different health problems and concerns and probably will for most of her life. her little granddaughter. And her husband was shot and killed after so many years of marriage.
That's so hard.
So this was a lady, okay, who I was like, after I heard her, I was like, yeah, don't talk to me about church hurt anymore. Like you talk about being hurt in church.
For sure.
Hurt in church, watching your friends, loved ones, relatives.
That's so traumatic.
Watching them die, like watching them die in church, right? Which was the experience of the early church.
Yeah.
Which was the experience of the people in the book of Acts, like, yeah, I just saw my friend, my neighbor, my relative, my spouse out in the arena being like swallowed by a lion. Mm-hmm. And hurt in church, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going, this lady's still in her church.
Yeah.
This lady's still in her church. Mm-hmm. And this lady is still actually following Jesus, and so much so that she is actually on a mission trip to Alaska.
Like slinging fish. Like, I don't.
Right.
That's amazing.
Fish, yeah.
I think,
so
I mean,
it's like, wow, that just, and I know sometimes emotional pain and stuff like that can be different. But all I'm saying is, like, it changed my perspective.
I love when you talked about Acts. And just the early church, because we see lots of different forms. I mean, like, yes, people were being killed, but also, you know, you hear the pain of a Peter, like, as he's turmoiled with his ministry partners and, you know, and making that hard decision there, you know, to part ways, or, you know, friends that he had that, like, deserted him when he was imprisoned. And so, I mean, we see all sorts of wounds, you know. I think that it's so hard to put levels. I think everyone's pain is valid, like whether it's something really difficult or something small, but like, hallelujah, the blood of Christ covers it all.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. That is so true. And I guess that's about, what else do you want to say? Anything else? Anything you want to tell them?
I think Warren will probably be much more interesting than I am.
I don't know.
I will say, though, since we did talk some about Clarity tonight, and I am Clarity Solutions where I work, and I am their biggest fangirl, if you are watching and you want to support our mission, no matter where you are from, we need you. We have a walk coming up if you're local. It's a fundraiser. It's a walk for life. All of our funds go to saving and strengthening families.
That is awesome, and we're supporting the Walk for Life. So tell us, how can they actually give? What do they need to do to help
so
with Clarity Solutions?
If you're interested in learning about Clarity, you can go to supportclarity.org, supportclarity.org. The Walk for Life is on there. If you're local and you want to walk, or if you're a member of our church and you want to sponsor someone, you have $15 and you want that to go to, you know, a woman in need who's in a crisis pregnancy, you can do that there. Or if you're not local and you just want to learn and pray, there's prayer prompts on there. We are a praying ministry. We pray together as a staff every single day, and we need you to partner with us in prayer. We are pushing back the darkness.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. And I wanted to say also that if you can actually just comment on this video too. Another way you can do that is you've heard us share the gospel on this. You can share this video. You can share this on your Facebook page. That helps get word out there, both about Clarity and Jesus Impact.
Yes, Jesus and Clarity.
Yes,
it's good.
They go hand in hand.
It's good.
And we also just want to close with prayer. We always close with prayer. So do we have any special prayer requests, Nick? Yes. Jenny Grimes. So one of the prayer requests is Jenny Grimes. She is one of our nurses that go to church here.
She's amazing.
Yes. And she says pray for our community because COVID virus.
Yes.
She's down there with it every day. She sees it every day in the hospital. And so that's super important.
Absolutely.
Who else are we praying for?
Dinah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think especially for our vets that are, so we need to pray for our vets in Afghanistan. That was the other one mentioned. Because some of our vets are really having a hard time. I'm a vet myself. I was never in Afghanistan. But I know some of our vets that really invested a lot of their lives in there are very troubled by all these recent developments.
That's so
awful.
We
need to pray for them in our community. So are those the two we have today? They're okay. Very good. We're going to pray for those things. I'll pray for the vets. Will you pray for Jenny, and as she's a nurse, and also for our community just with all this uptick in COVID?
Yes.
And then I'll pray today for our vets as we kind of wrap things up.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your truth and your goodness. I just thank you for all that you've done in my life and the life of anyone who's listening or watching, the life of our church. Lord, we lift up Jenny to you, just a precious friend and sister in Christ, a nurse. She has blessed us with her nursing, Lord, and I know that she is a blessing to so many of her patients, and I just pray that you would strengthen her arms. I know that they have to be weary, Lord, of taking care of people who are so physically needy, and I pray for our community, that you would protect us and help us, Lord, from COVID and this Delta variant. It's scary, and it's so hard to know what to believe or think, Lord, but you are the God of truth, and you're with us, and I just pray for people who are being exposed, maybe even today, people who are in the hospital fighting for their lives. God, would you be with them? Would you help them? Would you be the healer? Would you use this horrible thing that I'm sure Satan has meant for evil, COVID, and use it for good, Lord, that people would be bold to share your name, and that they would experience you in their darkest moments when they're sick, when they're very sick and needy. And also pray for our healthcare professionals as well, that your hand would be on them.
And Father, we want to pray too, especially for Clarity tonight. We want to lift them up to you and pray that you would help forward their mission, use them for your glory, guide them in all that they do, Father. And I just want to lift up to you also Dinah, as she's laid out this prayer request for vets in Afghanistan. Our nation is in such a terrible shape in so many ways right now that we just need your help. We need your intervention. We need a revival, dear God, in our nation. And I pray also for our troops and for our soldiers and for our sailors who have invested so much of their lives, and our airmen, Lord, all of them who have invested so much of their lives in places like Afghanistan and then watch what's going on over there. Dear God, I just lift them up to you, and I pray you would be encouragement and strength to them. I pray you would help them through this difficult time. And I even pray, dear God, for our American citizens especially that are still over there in Afghanistan right now trying to get back home to their country, and I just pray you would help them get back home safely. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege to bring our request to you, and we pray you would bless each and every person listening to this. In Jesus' name, amen.